Husky Shop Bash 2022 proudly presents DJ Tommy Fresh, spinning all the hottest Musky tracks you've ever heard. Pete Maina, Joe Booker, Stephen Paul, the Smitties, and Steve Herbuck will be there. Be there or be square.
Homie, don't play that game.
But don't miss a special set from Fantastic Freddy, 2022 Northwoods DJ of the Year. And stick around, EJ DJ's gonna be there. July 16th, Monaco, Wisconsin. The Musky Shop Bash.
Ain't no holler back, girl.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 Podcast of DJ Jaybird.
DJ Stevie Fresh.
Stevie Fresh.
In the house.
Yes.
Drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. July 16th, the Musky Shambash.
Oh, that's a good one, man. That's just getting me psyched.
Getting psyched up. That's going to be a hot set. Opening act is a girl named Molly. She's just showing up to the bash, Jay.
Gotcha. Okay.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll do a great job. Anyway, so we got that going on. Folks, make it to Northwoods July 16th for the Musky Shop Bash. Getting fired up. It is going to be the Musky Shop Power Panel. So what we're going to do, they got the big tent, right? They won't let me bring my snakes from down south, but we got a big tent.
Yep.
And we're going to have the power panel. So me, Booker, the Smitties, you know, Herbeck, Maina, you got it. Everybody's up there. You got musky questions. We're going to go at it. We're going to have a great time talking musky fishing with everybody. A lot of vendors going to come out. So it's going to be a hoot at the Musky Shop. A lot of
vendors.
Fish. Yeah. A lot of vendors. Yep. A lot of stuff. Yep. Smitties are going to be making food.
Yeah, I heard.
Eat before you come, okay? That's what I'm saying. So the Smitties will not be permitted anywhere near the food. Get you a plate full of the world famous Smitties water chicken. Now, what they do, I talked to Jake. I was like, what is the Smitty recipe? So they take a chicken breast, Jay, and they cook it in water.
Okay, for
that's,
how long?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
And until they think it's lightly pink. They cook it to
serve it up. There you go.
Serve it up. Just some room temp water. Get that thing lightly pink. That's Smitty water chicken.
And pull out, you know, a Smitty shanking knife and slice that thing up like a Thanksgiving turkey.
You want a little chew in it. You want a little chew.
Okay.
That's what he said. The Smitties are disgusting people. So, I'm really excited about the EDM, like the freaking bass dropping set Fred's going to do.
I heard he's an up-and-comer on the DJ circuit. That's awesome.
Listen, it is a small market there in the Northwoods to be voted. But however, it's a small but crowded market to be voted 2022 Northwoods DJ of the Year. Wow. Yeah,
the talent list there is incredible.
It's amazing.
DJ EJ spinning the hit. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
What more do you want?
Mm-hmm.
It is just going to be a hoot. So, folks, we're going to light it up and burn it down.
Yeah.
Jay, speaking about burning it down, burning down the house. I heard it's hotter than blue blazes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, things have heated up in a hurry. It was 90 degrees today.
What's unfortunate is Pete Maina's musky season lasted 3 hours.
Yeah, it's over for him already, isn't it? Yeah, no kidding.
It was ice out, and then we hit 80 degrees.
Yeah, ice out, like it's getting too hot to fish. But, yeah, it's gonna completely rebound by Monday, so nothing to worry about.
Okay, what are you hearing, though, as far as, like, because we're talking ice out to what water temps, dude?
Yeah, low to mid 60s this morning.
Hey-o.
So that was readings from yesterday, and it was sunny and hot all day. So I don't even know how. That's crazy. In a week. I mean, Trout Lake had ice on it a week ago.
Yeah. Last podcast, yeah, we were talking about you're driving home and going, oh, there's some ice edge.
Something else.
John Mikniak got a sunburn in the parking lot.
He's on his way back in another week. Yeah.
You know, so it's good and hot up there. Well, we know it's knocked the ice off. I don't think there's a lick of ice anywhere.
No, it's completely gone. And fishing's been pretty good. Yeah, I mean, everything's coming in shallows right now. So a lot of crappie fishermen happy, and most people are walleyeing right now, and they're doing pretty good.
The thing I'd say is this, is I'm not an expert on this, but I'll try my best. The timing of the ice, I think, is forgettable at this point. Forget about it. You know what I'm saying? It's all about water temp. That just blew that away.
It made it up. It made it back up in a hurry. You know, maybe it will be a decent thing come midsummer, because that's the only thing you got to worry about is, like, by midsummer, what is the late ice out do to your fishing patterns? You know, mm-hmm. How do you have to adapt, and are you going to struggle at times more than normal? So hopefully not. It could be a good, really good year. I mean, we're probably at water temps right now. We're probably ahead of last year.
Yeah. Easy. I wonder if it's going to be hot, because it feels like it's going to be a warm summer.
Yeah. Well, you're already getting some big water temps down there too. So
it's hot. Yeah. I mean, I am the poster boy for skin cancer already this year. It's just hotter now.
Yeah.
So, but we'll just keep an eye on things. But it seems like a rebound there up north. So all good stuff. You know, what are you going to do? Jay, I've heard a rumor. You've prepared some interpretive dance for the bash.
There's been some people asking me to. I said possibly if Elmer joins in, but Elmer's not into that. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think so.
Elmer simply said, I ain't cool with that.
He said something like that.
I ain't cool with that.
Well, he's doing a cage fight now, I guess. He's doing some cage fight
out
there.
Don't tell everybody
Fred.
Already.
Well, geez. Yeah, there's something going on.
We're working on a cage fight, folks. I'm serious. If you like that hot musky action, MMA, musky action.
You got to finish that skate park out there for him. I mean, he's demanding.
He's demanding. So there's going to be a cage fight at the bash this year. It's Elmer the Mauler Jensen versus Fred Big Fuego Palermo. All right. So it's going to happen. We will be taking bets. It's illegal, but see me. I'm not afraid of breaking some laws over some cage fighting. Mm-hmm. So let me know. We're going to stage a cage fight there at the bash. It's going to be epic. I'm going to make this happen, Jay.
Okay. I'm totally with you on this one. I think it's a great idea.
Fred Big Fuego Palermo. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Elmer the Mauler Jensen. It's on. Folks, we're going to have a big old party July 16th. Speaking of big old parties, Muskie Shop TV's been out. We got the glide bait muskie fishing episode this week. We got figure eight muskie spinner baits. Big stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. And that's the only reason I say that. We don't. What's funny, Jay, if you ever notice, like, I don't get a, here's what we're doing. But now, I like the figure eight episode. If you guys are thinking our season opener up there, dude, spinnerbaits, and more spinnerbaits. And I like the boss and the mini boss. So some cool tricks on the boss and the mini boss in that video, as far as something else going on there. So at least to mix it up. I'll say this, as far as Muskie Shop TV, if you're not watching, it's the Muskie Shop YouTube channel. We put them on the app, whatever. I'm stoked about next week more than anything.
I am too. I think it's a barn burner episode. It's really good.
Me calling shots after shots after shots trolling.
Mm-hmm.
Yee! Raise hell, eat cornbread. Jay, have you ever done that?
I heard you say, there he is. bam, he's on, just like that. What, two out of the three hits? You're like, oh, you know, you're watching your electronics and driving and doing erratic maneuvers and, you know, keeping this on track and dialed in, and bam, you're like, there he is.
I said, oh, bam, skeet, fish skeet. On. Got him.
Too cool.
Skeet. Got him. I don't know. I think it's fun. Maybe a trolling episode's going to be boring. I don't think this one will be. But I'm excited about it because, like, that was fun. I mean, it's one of these things, like, if you don't like trolling, I mean, we're talking, what did we show? Did we show three fish in the episode, Jay, of, like, a four fish day or something like that? Or what do we do?
Three fish day. I think you're holding two of them. The first one, the hold didn't get it. I didn't get it. I didn't get the clip or something. But
doesn't matter.
The last one is real big. Mm-hmm. And these aren't dinks, you know. It's like they're all quality fish. That one skied out of the water. I mean, yeah. I mean, some people kind of frown on trolling, but I mean, effective maneuver.
I saw the rough edit of what you did. And I was excited because I'm going, that's how I troll, and it's fun because I love calling shots. I'm going, I know I'm about to go around this tiny little corner, right? And if you guys watch it, it's funny. I'm not trying to talk about myself, but I had a hoot with it. I throw up the field goal hands, and then I point at what Roddy's going to hit. Now, I'm off by one rod, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll admit it. I said he's going to hit back corner. He hit the one on the outside. Sue me.
It was funny.
It was funny. I think what's funny, like, if we did these episodes for, like, super long, you would see Jay, and you edited it down. Of the three you're showing, I think I call two of them. I'm like,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was two.
But we'll dive in. Me and Jay have talked about it. So this winter, guys, we're going to really commit. We had the thing. I got the thing that sort of screwed up the world this year and slowed me down on doing the deep dive. So we're going to save some of that extra footage from this year to do our deep dives over this coming winter, where I'll really get technical with some of this stuff. But if you see this video, you're going, how is that guy going, I'm about to catch a fish trolling and calling my shot trolling, right? One of them's from seeing it on the graph. The other is from hitting. It's so exciting when you hit something so strategically.
Mm-hmm.
I get
excited. Like you were rounding a familiar corner or something, and then bam, you made contact. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, hitting it right. You know what I'm saying? It's just like...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a way when I'm driving the boat, I go, man, if I can, speed's right, the baits are all running, I don't have a leaf or a weeder or a piece of crap on it, and all the rods are running, and I know I just hit it perfect, right? If I hit it just perfect, I know I'm going to catch a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what trolling is for me. I know I'm going to hit it perfect. Like, I think the first one, when I come in, I see this point, and I'm like, I think I go, there he is, throw up the goal hands and then point the rod, because I know I'm just going to catch him. I know there's no question, because I hit the pass perfect. And it's sort of like execution. It's like seeing it, thinking about it in your head, going, I'm going to hit it this way. And if I do it perfectly and I execute what I'm supposed to do with the boat, and my boat control is perfect, my speed's perfect, the baits are running perfectly, I'll catch fish. And you go, bam, 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 fish in the net. That's what's cool, because I think it's not something that's shared a lot in trolling. You just hear about trolling, mm-hmm. and it's this arbitrary crap, opposed to you hear me going, there's a way to do it, and there's a way to do it really well. It's the first episode we've done trolling, and it's a lot of action, and it's one day just bang, 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 fish. But I find it to be a hoot, because that's when I'm trolling, I'm not looking to troll for 7 hours and just catch a fish. I'm looking for drop the baits in, let's hit this spot, let's hit it thoroughly and effectively and just get it over with. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever. I'm a dork and I like trolling. So.
Yeah, well, I was just out in the backyard before we started, and neighbor Steve and his dog came over and we were talking, and I told him about the trolling episode coming up next week, and he's especially excited about that one, because that's really his thing. That's what he's really trying to learn about, mm-hmm. and become good from the ground up at that, you know, with the lakes that he fishes around here. So
I think
excited about it.
I think neighbor Steve's a hell of a stand-up dude for covering up for you for the Wally incident.
yeah.
You owe him one. You owe him one.
Do I? Okay.
You know, he could narc you out at any moment.
Well, we're all on the watch for the bear. There's a wild bear in the backyard last night.
Shame,
so.
It's a shame that a bear took neighbor Wally, Jay.
Maybe that's what happened, and we haven't seen him for a while. So
It was a bear.
Yep.
Thanks for coming with that story, neighbor Steve.
You got it.
So, other than that, geez. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've just been thinking trolling all week. And now I fished with a cool podcaster this week named Josh. We had a good time casting. Had some like weird dude fish doing weird crap. Like nipping, grabbing, rolling, spinning, banging, that kind of trip, you know. And it was like
the tail end of the water temps climbing too high type thing.
Not too high, just jumping quick stuff. Like the metabolism's going, but they don't want to do it. But they're like, you know, raging in and stopping, that kind of trip. We got some fish, but we should have got more. But, you know, I just came off that hot trolling pattern. Like I said, I was just thinking about that. I was like, I want to do another masterclass on trolling ASAP. But one thing I'll say, when you see the video next week, it is four rods, right?
Yep.
But if you're a Wisconsin guy, get you a dummy in the boat, you know, buy like a crash test dummy and put him in the passenger seat. Could have done the same stuff with a two rod setup for sure. The takeaway would be this. I don't think what I'm doing with headlocks is a one rod setup or matlocks, because I like a matlock. If I'm going to do two, I want a matlock and a headlock, right? And there's something to be said about the wilder action of the matlock. We get into it in the video, but anyway, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I was excited about this, and we don't talk about the show much, and, you know, whatever. I want to talk about, I'm out here killing myself filming this stuff, so I want to talk about it. I did get to fish with Josh when the spinnerbait episode. So Josh works for Muskie Shop Guide Service, so if you're looking for a trip up there, he's a really good friend of mine. Good dude. Stand up dude, knows how to catch some fish, so that's cool. And you can, you know what, if you book a trip with Muskie Shop Guide Service, you get to talk to Jody Michael most days. Isn't that weird?
Horrific. Jody's hotline, we call it.
Jody's hotline. So
it's a 900 number, but you know. Sorry.
Dang, dude. Jay signed up this morning, folks. I got a link from Jay. It was creepy. If you want to find Jay Essie, he's on feetfinder.com.
Actually, you sent me that link.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I clicked on it and went, what the?
What?
It was 6:30 in the morning. I'm on my way to work and I get that link. I'm like, believe me, you weren't up at that hour. That was from the previous night. So I just deleted it.
No, you didn't.
It's still on there.
That's what, absolutely. Jay's got a site. Folks, if you like you want to spend some money, visit Jay's feetfinder.com profile. Oh my God.
Weird stuff.
Man. Maybe we should move on. Any fun new stuff this week, Jay? Any good stuff going on at the shop? We got a sale going on. We got funsies coming up.
Oh, what came in? Well, it wasn't an enormous amount of incoming activity this week, but the one cool thing is we scored a bunch of 6-inch and 7.5-inch solid phantoms.
Yee-yee.
Which were, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of going to go out on a limb here, and I kind of like those as a glide bait presentation almost more than the softtail.
The hard, dude.
And I know you've got some old tens. He just hasn't been making making or molding or something. He's concentrating on the soft tails. It's a one-man show, or one man plus his wife, you know, making these baits. And it's turned into a small company. It was a big corporate entity a couple years ago. Yeah, now it's a smaller operation. And he's like, I got my hands full, dude. I can, you know, I'm just, you know, working all week and then working the weekends too, trying to keep up making 6-inch soft tails for everybody. So. But anyway, we got, he found a stash that I think Todd painted.
Nice.
And, if for those that know, Todd, passed away a few years ago, he was kind of one of the founders of Phantom, a really neat guy. And yeah, he found them in storage. So we bought a bunch of them, and those are back. Kind of cool.
What is it, 6-inch solids?
Yeah, man, some 7.5s too. So we thought weren't going to be able to get any more. So okay, yeah,
Jay,
it just
hold on
happened.
For a second. Are all of these, so I'm looking, I just pulled it up on the site, 6-inch, solid 6-inchers, right?
Yep. Yep.
Are these the ones with screw in? Are they all screw in or are they wire through?
I think they're all screw in. I think every one of them.
Of what you just got?
I don't quote me on that. Yeah, because some, God, I remember handling a lot of them and they appeared to all have the screw in weight system.
The screw in.
Which is, for those who don't know, that's a newer feature on the Phantoms.
No, not screw in weights, screw in hardware. So the hook hangers?
I don't know. Yeah, okay. I don't know for sure. Yeah.
I'm sure we got some because I'm seeing some on the site. Did you put up any new colors in this batch?
Yeah.
What were the colors you had to take pictures of?
Prism Orange Perch, Prism Char Perch. Bring up any of those. Those are all new photos.
Prism Perch.
Yeah, or black.
Okay, that's what I'm looking at. There's a black. If you just added these... Frickin', this thing is money. So there's a difference. Like the Phantoms right now, they have drop-through wires that are fed through the bait. These are the Phantoms that I throw that actually have screw-in 051 hardware where you can tweak them and dial them in. So that's the original Black Magic that Todd painted. There should be none of those left this week because those things are frickin' money, dudes. I'm telling you right now, buy the hell out of them. Prism Orange Perch?
Mm-hmm.
Did you take the picture of Prism Walleye today?
That's an older photo.
That's an older photo. Okay. So the Prism Orange Perch.
We did get some though, but I used the old photo.
What else did you add new colors of that you didn't have?
Well, we got 5 colors in, so Prism Pike, but that was, already had that on the website. So
right.
Just those 3 I mentioned.
The black ones are money. I'm just telling you, I'm looking at the bait wall right now. I stockpiled those forever ago. What's cool about the screw-in hardware Phantoms of that time when Todd was still making them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are these wood or are they plastic?
Well, plastic for sure.
Right. So I liked the plastic with screw-in hardware the best. The wood ones are inconsistent. The plastic with screw-in hardware are the most tunable. The ones that you don't have, like the screw-in hardware, some are good, some are bad. These are money. Get them now.
Mm.
I'm telling you, I am getting some when we get off the podcast, and I'm going to get that freaking orange perch. You're never going to get them again. I'll tell you that much.
Because kind of looking that way. Yeah.
What you do is, now here's a trick with this bait. Let me grab one off the wall. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Not that one. This is, remember the Locksoul perch? Or like a
Phantom paint job?
I call it Locksoul, but it's not. I think somebody else did it as a custom color, but it ended up being a normal color years back.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, you can adjust the hardware on it, right? And if you look down, pick the bait up, flip it upside down, and you're going to make sure that both those hook hangers are in alignment. Usually they're not. You want them perfectly in alignment. You need to take a pair of vice grips. You might have to bend one left, bend one right, get them perfectly in alignment and tweak the nose. Get the nose sideways or vertical. You'll find that some of these run really well with the line connector side to side and some run really well with it vertical. Those are the money Phantoms, dude. Like
because little solids. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say some of the wood ones were like, eh. But when Todd was painting them and they were plastic and they had screw-in hardware, those are my favorite Phantoms. I think that is genuinely like the black one that I'm seeing like there. Like I call it Black Magic. I don't think it's called that. That's the black with the glitter in it. Those are the baits that made Phantom a famous name.
I think those solids, they glide better than the soft tails. I mean, hands true
down.
Glide.
Dude, hands down. Mm-hmm. Better hookup, better glide. Because if they tail grab, you're going to hook them. I'm just saying it. Like I said, do you get any 7s? Hold on.
Yep. Same deal. Same colors.
Hold on. 7.75. One of my best Wisconsin baits is one of these. Which ones did you have to take pictures of?
The same three, black and both perches.
Sharp, the prism sharp perch.
Yep, and prism orange perch.
I have murdered fish up there in tannic water on that prism sharp perch. You just have to tune them a little bit. Not all of them are perfect, but when you can tweak them, you know what I'm saying? Because like mass production baits, you get them. Those are going to be money. Sorry, I didn't mean to crawl down that rabbit hole or sort of get into what you got to do with them. But if you're listening, buy the black one and buy them all. And send your buddy Steve some. So,
I know what you're picking up this weekend.
I already got some of them. They're awesome. But might get, how many do I need? Hold on. One, two. Hold on. I'm literally, this is no joke. Four, five, six. I have 9 of that short perch.
You have 9 of them. Okay.
Unfished. And I have 10 Black Magic 6 inches I've never fished. I've dialed them all in, but they're ready to go. And I have like 3 in the boat. Both of those are bad baits, dude.
Bring them along this summer when you come up.
No.
Yes.
No. Take them from the, I'll take them from the, just save me some, Jay. Guys, that's
Yeah. Did you try that Mohawk bait?
Okay. Whoo. Hot. Hot diggity dog.
Okay, you're going to be the first person I talk to about this, so lay it on.
Okay, so Jeff Boggs sent me, I don't know what, if we, do we sell both of them at the shop right now? Hold on.
The Mohawk.
6.0.
Okay.
So he sent me a different weighting version than what we have right now that's coming out. The Mohawk's bad, dude. So here's my thought, right? Me and you talked about it. I've gonna haven't fished one, or maybe I've said that. I've played with a client, had one before, but I spent some serious time with one now. It's not it's like a Poseidon killer.
Hmm.
It's swim baity more. It's like rippy bulldoggy swim baity. It's really cool. So I'll delve into that. Let me put it this way. Already got a fish in the net on it, right? Pretty wicked bait. A lot of fun to throw, easy to throw. So they're cool, but, you know, there's so many cool, like between that and the Toothy Tough, we know we got a big fish on Toothy Tough. There's a lot of cool rubber out, you know, I've been excited about, but that Boggs is cool. How's the B-52s going? A bunch of guys at the shop grabbing for guiding.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of that too. Yeah, there's still probably a very good color selection left. They've been selling pretty hard, but yeah, we got a selection left. Let's put it that
way. I know we're talking baits, but buy the Black Phantoms and the Prism Sharks and buy them now. I'm not one for like, oh, what's that? But when I didn't know you did that, I didn't know those were Todd baits. And there's no, like I said, this, if you can't get them, you'll be able to get a cool Phantom. But there is a difference between the old school Phantoms and the new school Phantoms. And a new school Phantom has drop down wires, and an old school Phantom has screw in hardware. So there was wood that Todd made, there are plastics that Todd made where he screwed them in. And then it went into mass production where they have drop through wires and you can't really tune them. And so that's the difference. Just the more you know.
Here's a Todd story that you don't know. A little quick one, a little sidebar here. I talked to him years ago about custom painting, and he was telling me about, because he always loved Eddie Van Halen,
mm-hmm.
right? Met him several times. Nice. Yes. He made some custom baits for him, and he painted them with the, you know, that Eddie Van Halen paint job, you know, yeah, with the bars EVH, going across. Yeah, he did some stuff for Eddie and was talking to him for a long time, and that was like the thrill of his life, hanging out with him that time. So,
hell yeah,
just a neat story. But
that'd be a good car, like an EVH black and yellow.
Yeah, it would be. Or the red with white, you know.
What are you going to do?
Something different.
Something different. Sholo might as well jump. Fish might as well jump. Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we'll get Doug in on a serious topic, but I guess we better get to some Q&A here.
Absolutely.
The first one up is from Maz Shark. Oh my God, the listeners are ridiculous. The name on this one is Maz Sharton. Maz Sharton. I just witnessed a duck getting. Oh, I can't even read that. Oh my God, that's so bad.
You're saying it's not really a legitimate Q&A question.
Yeah, it's not. It's funny as heck, though. Okay. I know who sent this. The guy that makes your wonderful kamikaze chatterbait sent this about some ducks having a marital dispute.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Cucky ducks. David Kendall. Hey, guys. Love the podcast. Meow. I fish a large chain just northwest of Minocqua. It's really clear water. So far, muskies are smarter than me. How do you approach fishing clear water? People always say dirty water is easier fishing. Fill my eyes with that double vision, Jay. What do you think? Dirty water?
Sounds like he might be talking LDF chain. Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough nut to crack. That is
like the flambe.
Yeah. If it's like a flambeau chain, it sounds like it likely is clear water. It's low density. Yep. There's huge fish in there. There's giant fish in there. Doug Smith, a.k.a. the Big Ticket, who works at the shop. And he is an expert on that water, above and beyond anyone I can think of. He's been fishing it for decades. I shouldn't say how long, but let's put it that way. Decades. And a lot of big fish under his belt. You gotta think outside the box. The fish are generally never shallow out there. Enough said.
I would fish live ducks.
I would not.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Here's the thing. So if you're fishing, let's say it's Lac de Flambeau, or a tough chain, these clear water chains, trailer your boat. Right? So if the muskies on that body of water are kicking your butt, go to a money lake, right? Call the muskie shop, talk to Jay, talk to Elmer, talk to Fred.
Right. If 10-minute drive, you can two or three really more high opportunity lakes. Yeah.
So if David doesn't, he's not saying I'm not caught him or this or anything. They're kicking his butt on that lake. Get your game on somewhere else and then go hit those fish. So let's talk clear water tactics here first. One of the best tricks I know for clear water is painted blades, right? So Jay, you look at like Spanky baits, some of these baits where they have like powder coated blades or painted blades, whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
Don't hit, if you're in Summer Peak and you're fishing blades, don't be hitting that with double nickel flashy blades. Now, it sounds counterintuitive because you go, oh, it's going to flash better. For some reason, like blackout blades, double greens, double whites are going to be the ticket on that if you're a blade first person. The next thing is rubber, right? So if we have clear water and say the weeds are down 8 feet, we need to get baits down there and make contact with the top of those weeds. That's going to be like first things first. So blackout blades, rubber, less flash. I don't know why. You would think flash would work better to pull them up, but it really doesn't. And bigger cast. That's one thing, Jay, you've talked about that. Me and you've talked about is like how you work a spot. Sort of explain that, Jay, where like giving it more distance and stuff for clear water so they don't see the boat.
Yeah, that's what it's all about for sure. And when it comes to deep too, it's like, you know, one thing, I fished with Doug out there before, and you know, he is fishing some of these lakes out there that specifically that he was asking about, you know, are not featureless, but they're coverless, you know, to a point, you know, where some of the bigger lakes on that chain have the structure you're fishing is like an 18-foot hump, you know, surrounded by 35 feet of water, and it's a big hump, and it doesn't appear to have anything on it. But, you know, we got a few lakes like that, and they're challenging. But, you know, at the right time, you know, the muskies follow the, you know, the walleyes that come up in there. And that's what you got. You know, it's hard getting baits down like that. You know, he will slow roll deep running spinner baits. I mean, slow roll. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, with colored blades, too. That's exactly the – that's – it's funny you said that. And deep diving crankbaits and especially rubber.
Yeah.
Especially rubber. That's something you can, you know, magnum size bulldogs and, you know, count them down before you start your retrieve and work the tops and make contact.
Mm-hmm.
Make contact with that 16 or 18 foot peak that you're fishing there. And, you know, don't good electronics and time of the day. Low light periods are usually best or cloudy days. You know, this is really clear water too.
Mm-hmm. And I think on those deep weed basin clear waters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a natural piece of forage, they'll come up and blast it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get it close to them. So you got to figure out, are they on the weed tops? Are they buried in the weeds? Or are they suspended above? Right? On your perfect, it's cloudy, there's a storm coming in, they'll come up high above those weeds and be cruising around.
Yep. Yep.
But
yep.
On your typical kind of day, they're going to be in them. And you got to get down there and make contact. So colored blades, less flash is better. Natural colors, solid colors, so they can see them, right? Because there's an argument to be made about, you know, like, baits that are confusing in color. They have, you know, sort of a confusing camouflage pattern to them. There's too much going on there. All white, all black, you know, a walleye. A Cisco. Clear water is basic color water. And get it down, like you said, throw it out there and count it down. And you go, well, how do I know how deep to count it down? Get your boat set in 8 feet and drop it down. See how long does it take to heat 8 feet? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, bottom. Right? Whatever it might be. So you need to do some homework to understand how to fish what you're looking at. Right? So spinner baits, bulldogs, medusas, heck, a tomahawk, an alien eel, a toothy tough, whatever it is. Understand the rate of descent, how fast it's going to fall down there. Back to Phantoms, those 7.5s, man, with a screwing weight. Throw it out. Let it get down there. Bop, bop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bop, bop. Working it slow over the weed tops is pretty deadly. You know, the thing I'd say is this. If you're unsuccessful on that clear water and you've not, like, you're not accomplishing your musky fishing goals just yet, switch some bodies of water. Get some confidence under your belt, though. You know, get out somewhere and hit some water that's going to be productive for you. But clear water up there can be tough. But there's big fish. Like you said, there's monster fish in clear water up north.
Yep.
And fish things slow and thorough. Because the problem is this, is like up north, you have these shallow waters or these tannic waters, and everybody's fishing fast. Rah! Ah! Burning it up, right?
Burning.
Burning. How'd you get that one? I was burning. And clear water, big fish, they don't like the burn so much. Not so much, not so often. Matt, I'm missing fish on top water. I'm getting the strikes, but I'm not getting no hookups. What can you do for a creaker?
Creaker! Well, creaking, okay.
Creaking hookups. Jay, isn't mm-hmm. that your website?
That is so stupid.
Kriegerhookups.com.
Sounds like a video series.
Krieger Hookups. Are you looking to hook up with a Krieger in your neighborhood? Visit Kriegerhookups.com. Hot Kriegers are waiting for you. Jay? There are five Kriegers in your area looking to hook up with a fish on top water.
There you go.
Anyway, I would say, let's just, creaker or not creaker, let's just go top water hookup, how to hook up top water, how do you get a fish in the net on a top water strike? Well, wonderful setup. I got a really nice 47 on top water here recently. And guess what I did, Jay? I closed my eyes. Always do, always will.
Wait to feel it. Yep.
Wait to feel it. So the things that'll get you on top water is the excitement, the boil behind the bait, the hump up behind it, and you're going, oh, there he comes.
Yeah.
And then you see him, when you see the fish go for it, he hasn't closed his mouth yet. Every time I see a fish come up behind my bait on top water, and I know he's getting real close, and it's like that moment of, oh, here it comes, I close my eyes. When I feel it, I set the hook, and it got him. I don't miss a lot. Right? You don't get to see the strike, but you get to see the fish. That would be the best piece of advice I have, because it sort of takes your eyes out of the game, because when you see it, you'll see the mouth. You set the hook. The mouth is not closed. You always hear guys say, don't set the hook until you feel the weight of the fish. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know.
A lot of times these fish are just swiping at it too. Their mouths aren't even open, so.
Well, my biggest fish ever caught on top water is off of Eagle, and it's a big old fish.
Jackpot?
And Dancing Raider.
Okay, same deal, but
you know, same deal.
That bait is not moving forward very, very quickly.
No, and I missed it a couple times.
That's key too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, whoa, you know, and shut your eyes and you hear it, but don't. Not setting hook because you hear it's easier than seeing it, and not setting the hook. Does that make any sense? Like you hear. Whoosh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it's a super hog and it ate. It went after it several times.
Yeah. I screwed up.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's.
You don't get that type of scenario on a super hog that often.
It's big.
that thing was switched on. That's cool.
Well, and it's one of those things, had I not gotten it, I would have lost my mind. But with that being said, you just go, holy crap, how did I not get the fish the first time? But I missed it the first time because I saw it and I just shut my eyes. And I heard it and then I felt it. You know, seeing is hard to not, seeing the fish come at it, it's hard to not set the hook. Hearing it, it's a little easier not to set the hook. And like I said, you know he's coming. You know, if he's out there at a distance, I just shut my eyes and just wait for it. And just let my hands take over, because that's what'll get you every time. Yeah, that fish is well above 50. And it was one of those things, had I not gotten that fish, I'd be telling stories like it's way bigger than that. It was incensed, and I screwed up because my knees are shaking. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't see that many fish that size coming on top water, but there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my number one tip. It's not that exciting, but it works. Shut your eyes. If you see them coming, yeah, you might miss the show, but I'd rather catch the fish than miss the show. Russ, early season trolling up north. What structure am I looking for? Should I be looking on the north end of the lakes, the warmer parts of the lake? Should I be looking in the same areas where we're casting? What are the structures that I'm looking for to have trolling success early in the season? What are some of the better early season trolling lures for up north? Jay, let her rip.
Okay. Well, have good electronics. Find out where the bait fish are.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to know from one day to the next. It's going to change. These things are going to move around. Right. I mean, if it's early season, for us, early season would be Memorial Day and beyond, you know, into, say, early June, because our season doesn't open for another 2 weeks or so, whatever day it is today, 12th or 13th or something. So, it's dependent on a lot of different lakes. We have such a variety of lake types. So, in terms of baits, it's interesting because we were earlier talking about the musky trolling with Supernatural Big Baits episode coming out next week that we were both kind of admiring. Yeah. That it turned out really cool, some really cool footage and big fish and everything.
Yeah.
And that's as big as baits get for pretty much for trolling, okay? Yeah. You're using 10 and 12-inch pretty, deep-bodied baits, big profile. And it's like, I mean, it's still kind of early season down there for you. It's certainly not midsummer yet, right? I mean, you're still, post-spawn was not that long ago, right?
I mean, feel like, I don't know why, but all bets are off trolling.
Well, okay, good point. But, you know, you think about that, it's a 10-inch bait, you know, 9, 10-inch Suex. Same length, different, you know, thinner profile, of course.
Here's my thought.
That's just a snack.
Not to cut you off. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Go catch you a 9-inch fish and go to town and brag about it. I caught a 9-inch perch, boys.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Woo.
Not much there.
Not much. I mean, what does a 9-inch perch weigh?
Don't know, Steve.
That perch has got to go at least 5 pounds.
Get the tape measure out. Let's get a girth on that thing.
That thing's 9 inches.
Yep, it's just a snack for a muskie. So, right. Anything can work. You know, that's the one thing I think you brought out. It's just like, actually, I think it was in the deep dive last fall on trolling, that mm-hmm. masterclass thing that you did. You know, it's just like all baits are trolling baits when it boils down to it, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's a bucktail or, you know, traditional crankbait kind of presentation, you can certainly troll topwaters, you know, I've seen that work. But generally, I mean, you know, you're talking about crankbaits and there's certain jerkbaits that could be trolled mm-hmm. in a very shallow situation, almost like a prop wash. What's a good example? Like sledges.
Because that's the thing.
Yeah, you said that thing's crazy trolled.
I have seen some hellacious action on like a sledge refog back in the day for those old baits in the prop wash. Titan does the same mm-hmm. thing, which is sick. And it just hunts. It just wanders in the prop wash.
It wanders. Yeah. Yep.
But for some reason, trolling baits, it just doesn't matter. Like, I've caught the dinkiest little muskies on 12-inch headlocks. Why? I don't know. Early in the season. But casting, it seems like you need to be downsized. So, if I was going Northwoods, right, and we're hearing 60-degree water temps and some of this stuff.
Sure.
The thing I would say is this is don't mix it up. So what is it, one per J?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one per.
So let's say me and you are in a boat and we are in Vilas County. I got one rod. You got one rod and we control, right?
Sure.
Let's say the tube screamer is with us. Could we have a third rod?
I think so.
But we can't go above 3, correct?
I believe the max is 3.
Okay, so don't hold us to this. We're not looking at the regs right now because it varies. I know, like, different areas. Yeah, for argument's sake, because we're talking about the whole habitat range here, not just Wisconsin, let's hope we can only have 3 baits, right? So me, you, and the tube screamer are going to troll. What I would do is I would start off at the north end of the lake, warmest water, and I would find the bait. Now, you go, let's find the bait. I don't try to find the bait trolling and then find the bait and run into it. I will just drive the boat at the best speed. Let's say I've got, in guys, this is one thing I can tell you about the electronics on my boat. I have the non-side imaging Hummingbird at my console. So it's just like the basic whatever. You can pick it up wherever, Hummingbird. I'll mm-hmm, drive around right. at about 7. That seems to be the number where I can go, there's fish, right? 6, 7, depending on chop. I'll drive at the top speed I can and mark bait fish and go, okay, that's bait.
Paying attention to depth.
Right.
And concentration and where what it they're is. Relating yep. to.
Right. And mm-hmm. I might drop a waypoint, might drop 2 waypoints and go, okay, it seems like they're there. Circle back around in a bay or back in the open water and go, okay, now I'm going to set myself up. So don't like troll through them looking for bait. Find the bait or get a guesstimate. It'll take you 15 minutes, 10 at worst. I'd rather spend 10 minutes dialing in than 8 hours not dialed in, right? Fair enough.
Yeah.
So do the homework on the water. Go, okay, cool. So my first pass, I'm going to break out the big shit. I'm going to break out big baits. I'm going to go headlock, matlock. If it's me and tube screamer, right? My first pass would be headlock, matlock, 13-inch Jake. Or grandma. Early season. And you're going, that's not what works. Bucky Lester down at the bar, he was down there and he told me that they're hitting the 500 Booker tails. Okay. Well, talk to me about how many 50s I got. You know what I'm saying? 13-inch walleye, Jay. Would you catch a 13-inch walleye in Vilas County and brag about it?
Exactly. Huh? And the moment you start doing that in Vilas County, there's a number of lakes that have a lot of pike in them, or even a decent amount of pike. You're going to get pike hitting those. You're going to get pike that aren't much longer than that bait hitting those.
So here's the difference. You go, why are the shallow fish hitting small stuff and the open water fish willing to hit big stuff?
Mm-hmm.
The open water fish are typically dialed into bigger fish. So small fish on the edge, bigger fish on the outside, right? There are other predators on that first break, that first contact point, that break into open water. That's where your walleye, that's where your northern pike are predating. So upper 40s, mid 40s, low 50 inch fish are looking for bigger caloric intakes. Why work harder when you can work smarter? Would you rather chase minnows around, or would you rather tag a northern pike that's chasing minnows?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather pick off a walleye that tastes delicious and is easier to get? So bigger caloric intake. The problem is this, in my opinion, this is the early season thing where, like, from a Booker or a Mena or some of the other guys where I break away from them, right? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm willing to be wrong. It's a hill I'm willing to die on. You see big fish up shallow. I do not believe that they're there to eat. I believe they're there to metabolize.
Digesting and whatnot.
Right? So as a cold water creature, right? A muskie, its entire system, its vascular system, its nervous system, everything is dictated by water temperature. So if I needed to recuperate, and I have a lot of abrasions post open water coitus, if you will, and I need to heal my body, I'm going to go to the place where my body is metabolizing the most, things are cooking and moving, right? But I need calories to do this. I'm burning calories because I'm warmer. Am I going to pick up a lot of calories and then go warm up, or am I going to go in these shallows and chase small stuff that's up on the small edge? I don't know. My brain says I catch 50-inch muskies on 12-inch baits post-spawn open water, and I see 50-inch muskies up shallow, but I don't catch them. I move them. Don't catch them. They might follow. I don't catch them. But they'll annihilate a 12-inch headlock. Hello? That's my only thought. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, that's going to vary regionally, geographically, lake to lake, all this stuff. But it doesn't seem to me that it makes sense post-spawn to move around a lot and chase a lot of small stuff. I don't see the logic there. I never have. Right?
Yeah. I mean... Back to the deep, clear trout-based lakes around my neck of the woods, it's the exact same thing you're just talking about. Those big fish, when they're catchable, they're always deeper.
These things are lazy. What's the easiest regime? What's the easiest? When I'm guiding and I'm thinking about, I have to catch a muskie, right? So I had a great guy, like I said, I mentioned before, Josh on the boat this week, podcaster. You know, I told him, I said, the way I look at approach, I go, I try to take it like a weekender. Like, I got off on Friday night and I've got from dark into, you know, I got off work at 5. I'm on the water at 7. I got from 7 till 9:30 to catch fish. Right? I'm looking for what the most active, easiest fish is to get. who's feeding, who's moving, who's doing what. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to go, the guy that's eating minnows and the guy that's eating rattle traps, or how about the one that's actively predating out on the first break and then moving in? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not trying to.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm not trying to shake the tree here. But, like, you talk to Mayna, he'll say the same thing in some regard. You, like, I've talked to Herbeck, as like, yeah, he's like, I don't care. I throw 10-inch jerk baits from opener.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I'm with it. I'm with it on the getting shallow and throwing. You're going to move some fish. You're going to catch some fish. If your goal's a hog, start hog hunting from day one. You know, you're not going to catch that 34, but if you're looking for big fish, I mean, again, the fish is, let's say a fish is 48 inches, Jay, that's a big fish in the Northwoods, right?
Sure.
So the fish is 48 inches and weighs mid 20 pounds and he's going to eat a 1 pound perch. That's nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. It's like, you know, that big boy is going to exude some energy to go after a meal. He wants to make it worth it. You know, that's kind of one concept to think about, I guess.
Jay, that is why I troll 14-inch jakes from open to close 9 miles an hour.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Hmm. I'm crawling down that rabbit hole. Sorry.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is. And you'll catch, trust me, what I was getting out of this, and before I got on the tangent, that's my first pass. Let's go headlock, matlock, 13-inch grandma, right? That's cool. If that doesn't work, then downsize. You know, 6, 7, 5 on the slammer, and maybe we'll catch fish.
Yeah, 22 longs or
right,
something.
Right, 22
yeah.
longs, tough shad, whatever. But there's something so amazing about the disruptive nature of those big baits, those big presentations. Or go to your grandma's, your 10s, your 12s, you know, Jake's, grandma's, whatever. But, man, there's something to be said about just coming through with shock and awe.
Mm-hmm.
And just greasing them. Anyway, moving on. Colin, longtime listener, first-time Shield rod buyer. What model is the best all-around model for casting trolling? I have a boat and I bank fish. What do you think's the best compromise between the two? Wow. So we're going to cast.
Heavy.
Well, that's the thing. If he was a boater, only I'd go 9'6", but he's doing banking and trolling and casting. I'm going 9 foot heavy. I think we would agree on that.
Yeah.
Because I like it. Now, you know, there's something to be said if you're fishing like heavy, brushy areas, but the 9 foot, I mean, 8'6", 9 foot, whatever, but that's going to be your best all around generalist rod. Jay, you throw tubes on it, you throw dogs, you throw cranks, you throw bucktails on your 9 foot heavy. My client rods, majority of the time, I put people on that rod, 9 foot heavy. And we can throw little stuff, we can throw big stuff. That is the probably the best all-around model. So, and for bank yanking, that's going to get it done too. And if you're collapsing it, you can put it in the truck and put it in the car. And maybe he has his own private plane, Jay, and he needs to get it on there too. He can put it in his private plane.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's flying in. Jay, what's the best rod you recommend for somebody that has their own seaplane?
There you go.
There you go.
It's got to be telescoping.
There it is.
Space is an issue. It's got to break down to, you know, from 9 foot to 7'3" or whatever goes down to. Yeah.
Next question is Nornak from the planet Zorn. He fishes for space muskies. What rod do you recommend, Jay? For space
muskies. Sounds like a question for Elmer.
Sounds like a question. 9 foot extra heavy, quadruple heavy. Gravity doesn't play a role on space muskies.
I suppose not.
Mike.
Go with the extra heavy. Yep.
Northwestern Ontario is underwater with no signs of floods receding. Do you recommend targeting flooded? Do you recommend targeting flooded basements and ditches at opener, or targeting current areas where roads have washed out? Is it flooding up there? Hold on.
I heard something about that.
Ontario. flooding.
It does not sound good.
Let's see. News.
They must have had some serious snowmelt issues.
Flood warning issued for huge area along Minnesota-Ontario border. Kenora issues of, oh my God, Kenora issues evacuation notice as spring flood drenches northwest Ontario. Rainfall determines.
Really?
Holy cannoli. Folks, it's flooded in, it's flooding down in Ontario. Holy cannoli. Well, last year there was a drought. Okay, serious flooding also happened in Northwest Territories, Alberta, and Manitoba. Officials in Kenora, Ontario have issued an evacuation notice for residents in flood zones as high waters continue to threaten homes and infrastructure. As water levels rise to continue, there is no way to accurately predict how quickly roads can become unsafe and impassable, a city official said in a statement Friday. Kenora is one of several communities in northwestern Ontario seeing high water amid serious spring flooding happening across Canada. Flooding has also been reported in the northwest territories of Alberta and Manitoba. The Lake of the Woods and Winnipeg River system are higher than in 95% of the year's water levels have been tracked.
Really?
I'm looking at cbc.ca news. So 95% of the time. Kenora Mayor Dan Raynard told CBC News on Friday that the evacuation zones include about 250 homes, some of which are seasonal residences. Theirs we're talking about is Black Sturgeon Lake area. The lake flows into the Winnipeg River. Heavy rains and melting snow mean twice as much water coming as they can push out through the dams in the Winnipeg River system. Because the river obviously is a lot narrower, it causes rapid rise in levels. This continues on and on and on. So, if they dump water. So, Lake of the Woods is flooded. Kenora is flooded. Here's a map. Dryden next to Eagle. Kenora. Pickle Lake, Ontario, Thunder Bay. Wow. So they got some serious water. So.
Doesn't sound like they have any really true prediction on how long before they start receding either.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say an opener. It's flooded. Let's get hillbilly. Right? I don't know. You guys got some plenty. They got plenty of time before it opens, Jay. But they'll be out there piking and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Boys, I've caught muskies off the picnic tables at Cave Run. So, here's what's amazing. So, let's say we got a body of water. Big old lake. All right? And old big old lake floods out. And here's all this grassy area. Let's say the lake's up 10 feet, Jay. Right? So the boundaries of the lake are 10 feet wider than it's ever been. That's now grass, shrubs, trees, whatever it might be. Shoreline that was not underwater is now underwater. All that does is introduce new nutrients to the food chain. So your perch, your walleye, your bluegill, your smallies, your largies are going to go up there looking for food because here's all these grubs, here's all these freaking worms, here's all this stuff introduced to the food chain. Mr. Muskie's right there behind him. If it's flooded, get up in the flooded zones. It is a buffet for everything else. All right? So take advantage of it. I've done it. I've done it down south. Everybody that knows what I'm talking about, they're giggling, going, yeah, I fished them picnic tables too. I fished the urinal at Cave Run. I caught a 48 off the outhouse. Literally, there are fish that will hang off of picnic tables on Cave Run Lake when it floods because it is quote unquote structure.
Yeah, for that a lot.
Yeah. So you get up there and you're throwing rattle traps, or you're throwing small bucktails or baby DRs or whatever. And you're like, where's that picnic table at? I need to hit it. Bang, hit the picnic table and catch a fish. So flooded areas are neat. I don't think it's a bad thing. Now, it'll screw your spawn up and all this other stuff. I don't even want to go there. But as far as catching fish, you can take advantage of it. Get in those flooded zones. Try to remember, like, okay, what did that look like before there's 10 feet of water on it or 5 feet of water on it? Get up there and exploit it. Stumps, bumps, trees, timber, whatever, get in there. Fish are going to move in there because the bait fish are moving there because of the massive introduction of fresh minerals. There's yep. fresh everything going on there. I don't know about fishing other people's basements, Jay. Is that trespassing? What do you think?
That's a no-no. You don't want to get caught doing that. Mm-mm. It happened to Fred before.
It did. Fred was crappieing in another man's basement, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And you don't crappie another man's basement. Next up, the Sultan of Swig. Don't crappie another man's basement.
You just don't want to do that.
The next up, I love this guy's name, Sultan of Swig.
Hmm.
The Sultans of Swig, they play Creole. Probably my favorite guitar player of all time, Mark Knopfler.
Dire Straits.
Well, I'm just saying.
What about Joe Walsh?
What?
Nothing.
Well, I don't know. It's a tough. Okay, so Walsh. I mean. sorry. It's just sitting right here by me. I don't know. Mark Knopfler with the finger style. I mean, it's tough.
Yes.
I mean, it's harder. You know what I'm saying? Because right there, I got three on the frets. I got one, two, three.
Well, it's all he ever knew. It's all he ever did. So it's not tougher.
I don't know. The four people that listen to the podcast and play guitar, who do you think's better, Walsh or Mark Knopfler? I don't know. DJ Tommy Fresh, who's the best guitar player between? I don't know. I mean, I love Joe Walsh because it's Joe Walsh. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Salt in a Swig. Looking to up my glider game. I hate phantoms, and what? I hate hellhounds.
Hate's a strong word.
Hate is a strong word.
Dead air.
No hate. I don't know.
Stop hate, Steve. Just stop it.
Stop hate. We had, I hate them. Dead air. He said, neither of these baits seem to glide well. What's some better options? Manta's glad really well, but is it, Jay, is it heresy to say you hate a phantom or a hellhound, or do they not glide well?
You know, soft tail's a little bit more erratic, but I mean, a hellhound's a fantastic side-to-side kick and swing to it.
I mean, I just, like, you just sent me recently an 8-inch hellhound.
Yeah.
I mean, it glides great.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it Salt in the Swig? Don't get mad when I say this. Is it operator error?
Got to give it a little slack line, a little time to do its little dance to each side.
You know, I hate to say that because, like, phantoms, yes, they can run some tightness. They can re bang, 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 weird, whatever. Hellhounds really just seem to kick side to side and they just do what they do. You know, other than like if we're going like a real David French Shum that's like shooting really far or a Lynchum, I don't know what to, if you're looking to see it from the boat and you're going, okay, it's really shooting out there. What's the glide bait you sent me, Jay? Is it Paul Bear that I like so well? I called you and said it's awesome. One?
Undertaker?
Something like that. It's like round. It's round.
It could have. The pallbearer is the plastic version. The Undertaker is the wood version. Yeah. That's a subtle, nice little glide bait.
I mean,
smaller,
it goes
6-inch bait.
It goes side to side pretty well, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
for me, I'm just going, is it like a matter of like you want to see that from the boat or are you looking for the action? Check your setup. Like, if you're like, okay, am I fishing like a phantom or a hellhound on multi-strand or fluoro? You're not going to get the action that you want. Let's just say he just doesn't like them, right? which is fine. To each their own. So we hate hellhounds, which is a strong word. We hate phantoms. What's your go-to, Jay?
Glide bait? Hell puppy, 6-inch. I would say that would probably be number one. I use those quite a bit. If I do go to a glide bait, which I don't go to a lot, I will admit, I'm more of a dive rise guy, but that's something you can work fast, and that's what I enjoy about that bait. She's going off the rails now.
Sorry. Phantoms don't suck. Hellhounds don't suck. I would say, like, my probably go-to's there, if you're not liking either of those, the Manta is going to be a fast glide bait, fast side to side. Lynch them, turn the handle, go. That would be my take of, like, if you don't like the look of either of those, get a, what's a beast, Jay? The black beast. What is it? What's the gear range? 6.2, 6.3, 6.2,
I believe. That's their high speed. Yeah.
So that gear ratio with a Lynch them, turn the handle, whack, whack, whack. Yeah. It'll do it. Shum Shum first, Slim.
First Lynchum I ever saw in action was with you.
Yep.
And that was that throwback.
Caught some fish.
I threw to the right. You threw to the left. Bam, he just ate it. That was fun. That was a fun night.
What more do you want? That'll eat him.
Yeah.
Nathan, hey guys, love the podcast. What's up with the Bigfoot 12-inch shallow raiders and depth raiders that Booker used to make? Been thinking of getting one for a late season thing, but I'm not sure if there's a reason they're not made anymore. LOL. Seems like a pretty neat bait. Thanks. Also, second question. Oh my God, this is no joke. Who would win? Oh my goodness, Jay. You guys are going to think I set this up. Right.
Okay.
Because literally we picked up for guitars. This is hilarious. Who would win in a four-way guitar shootout? So let's take the Bigfoot shallow raider depth raider. Jay, let's talk. I think it's been long enough removed, right, that you can tell what happened to the Bigfoot depth raiders.
I can tell the story
from the Chicago Muskie Show. Yep.
I'm not going to get in trouble for it.
It's what happened.
It's what happened, and it was unfortunate, but it was out of JBO. Old owners, previous owners of JBO, they went overseas with manufacturing on that, and the rep had the new Bigfoot depth raider, which is a huge. How long was that bait?
12.
Over 10 inches? It was 12 inches. Shaped like a depth raider, everything was larger, right? Just blown up. Guy took it to the pool. 7,000 people followed into the pool at Chicago. And he threw it. He threw it about a foot farther than he wanted to. And it hit the end of the pool and it shattered.
I'm in tatters. Ooh.
Shattered. Sharubi. So it was a Sharubi situation. And let's just say it didn't go well after that.
Sharubi, you just killed me. I'm out of character, Jay.
So, yeah.
Sharubis. That's what happened. And then everybody's like, that bait sucks.
Well, no, the design was cool. It's just there was a manufacturing error. And these things happen occasionally.
Okay. So, next part. Who would win in a four-way guitar shootout? This is ridiculous because we, like, I can't remember the last time. There's like 50,000 episodes. One time I made a joke and I picked up a guitar. Who would win in a four-way guitar shootout? Slash... Joe Booker Jay Essie, uh-oh, and last but not least, Splash of the Muskie Shop Boys.
Oh, this what about Jace?
Well, this should be settled at the Muskie Shop Bash following Jay Essie's Muskie Dance Extravaganza featuring Elmer Jensen.
Well, I'm not going to dance. I'm sorry.
Could Slash hack it on stage with Joe Booker and the Top Raiders? Come to the Muskie Shop Bash, ooh, and find out. Ooh. So,
yeah,
Joe Booker's the, ooh, king of the volume swell, right?
Of
so it'll be like, wow, wow. Oh, yeah. Joe does, mm-hmm, this.
Mm-hmm.
And he waits for the turnaround, come back with, right, that's Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My money's on me. Jace comp's pretty bad, what he says.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, Jay. What, who's your money on? Jace comp, Splash, Joe Booker?
Splash has more intrigue behind the whole thing, and I think that's important. You know, we're, mm-hmm, talking rock and roll here. It's all about mystery and danger.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, what's your hottest lick you got, Jay?
I have no hot licks. I don't do licks.
What's your best? What's your best riff?
I save that for the professionals.
What's your best riff?
This is completely off the rails.
Jason, treble, oh, terrible with a bait casting reel. Can I still target muskies?
Okay, well, I didn't catch the first part. What did he say?
He said he's terrible with a bait casting reel.
Oh, can he
still target muskies?
You won't be terrible for long. Just learn the proper, what's a good video?
I don't know.
I did a reel video about just basic reel setup and where Doug's kind of holding the rod. If you've got the casting brake,
right?
Excuse me, the spool tension knob adjusts properly, that's half the battle. It can't, uh-huh, be too loose. You know, it's got to be tight enough so that you can, the lure itself will pull line out, but the thing won't keep turning after you leave your finger off of it. So practice with that spool tension a little bit tighter than you want to actually cast with.
Here's the trick.
You're not going to get great casting distance, but you won't have any overruns, and you'll learn quickly. You can back that off slowly, and don't practice with a light bucktail. Practice with a jerk bait.
Back
a
jerk bait,
like a glide bait, like a hellhound or something. It's got some weight to it, and it's going to pull out line evenly for you, and you'll be a pro in no time. Just practice. Take the hooks off and start flinging that thing in the backyard.
Fling it. I deal with clients. If people are not comfortable with bait casting reels, or if you're a pro, doesn't matter. Take it, stick the rod in the air, free spool it, and back that or tighten that thing down until it's barely falling.
That's exactly right.
That's it, dude. And then you can back it up a little bit more. The goal should be that you can make a cast with whatever lure you're using and never put your thumb on it and it doesn't backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do it with reels. Those pins, what are they? Pin Fathom or Quantum of Solace, or what are they? What's the name of them? The pin.
There's
reels.
A Fathom. Yep. And a Squall.
Right.
They have scary names.
Squall. Fathom. Mm-hmm.
You ever been caught in a squall?
Devarious. I don't know. Maybe. What? What do you got there? I can't remember the name of it. It's a pin squall. Is that what I'm throwing, the 6-3 ones?
I think so.
Here's the thing. There's the client reels I'm running. I set them up. I think maybe this week we had one backlash.
And you set them up and you just don't have to touch them the rest of the day, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Forget about it, Hugh. Oh, my goodness. Jay, this guy's name is Hugh Janus.
Okay.
Which Hugh, thank you for writing in. Much appreciated. With this week of warm weather in the North Woods, make you feel better about opener? I know we're behind with ice out, but can we expect as far as this water warming up, sooner weed growth, spawn? What do you think, Jay?
I think don't worry about it. Yeah, you can tell by trying to breathe normally outside right now that the pollen's definitely working. Grass is starting to grow. It's almost early. Went from snow on the ground to trees are budding and everything. So,
all right,
everything is warmed up quickly, and we've had some sun, so we got great light penetration lately. Should get the weeds jacked up pretty quick in the lakes.
Jay, what is your best technique for alternate picking?
Cherubi.
Hello, Minocqua. Hello, Minocqua.
July 16th, DJ Tommy Fresh. The Muskie Shop Bash 2022 proudly presents DJ Tommy Fresh, spinning all the hottest muskie tracks you've ever heard. Pete Maina, Joe Booker, Stephen Paul, the Smitties, and Steve Herbuck will be there. Be there or be square.
Homie, don't play that game.
But don't miss a special set from Fantastic Freddy, 2022 Northwoods DJ of the Year. And stick around, EJ DJ's gonna be there. July 16th, Monaco, Wisconsin. The Muskie Shop Bash.
Ain't no holler back, girl.